Well, our first scripture reading comes from Isaiah 1, verses 1, and then we jump over to 10 through 20. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 630. And you will hear Isaiah's prophecy of God's confrontation to the people who have turned away from God's ways. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more, bringing offerings as futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my face from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 40. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Be dressed and ready for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he arrives. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, it's just been one of those weeks. I knew going into it that it was going to be hectic. My son was at orchestra camp, and the Kenya mission team, including two staff members, was leaving. We had a group from Rochester, New York, staying here and doing mission work. There were meetings and mission projects and pastoral duties piled high on my plate. And I knew all of this was coming, so I had been preparing. I had been stockpiling my fridge and my pantry, worrying about any last-minute things I could help the Kenya team with, and fretting over all the details for the back-to-school rally in Pontiac. And I thought I had my week all planned out. I was ready. Some of you may know this kind of experience and know what comes next. As so often happens, things did not go according to plan. Visits ran late, meetings got scheduled and forgotten, circumstances changed. And as my days unraveled, I felt like I was watching my treasured plans spilling out through a gaping hole in my worn-out purse. I could justify my drive this week, and most weeks, frankly, to fret and worry over the tiniest details, to over-prepare for everything. Losing sleep over whether or not I need to wash my son's camp t-shirt or return an email feels like I am dressed and ready for action with my lamp lit. But the truth is, I am not compelled by virtue. I'm compelled by fear. Fear of judgment, perhaps, or of loss. Fear of whatever may happen if I'm not ready for it. And I believe I'm not alone in this fear. We've come to translate in our culture this idea of keeping your lamps lit as keep the candle burning at both ends. We feel it is our responsibility to prepare for every possibility, whether the task at hand is raising our children or reaching our career goals or even following Jesus. We look up to those people who have not only a stellar plan A, but also plans B through Q in place. We don't want to be sidelined by surprises or derailed by missed details. And this is because we are driven by fear. After every disaster, every tragedy, every major mishap, we comb through the evidence to sort out how this could have been avoided. Public judgment is pronounced on every missed clue, every minor flaw, every delayed response. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into, is not good enough. He should have known. He should have had a better security system. So then what do we do with Jesus' entreaty? Do not be afraid, little flock. Just before the words of Jesus that we read today, he tells his assembled flock of disciples, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body what you will wear. He tells them that God knows what they need, and just as God provides for the flowers and the birds, God will take care of their needs as well. If you ask me, this sounds massively irresponsible. But then I think about this week. Would it have been the end of the world if I hadn't washed my son's camp t-shirt a third time? Did I really need to worry about that? Would it have been a total disaster if the youth group had run out of food and we'd had to go out and buy some more? Maybe Jesus has the right idea after all. When Jesus describes these servants waiting for their master, they aren't pacing the floor and scrubbing the kitchen and fretting over whether the master wants eggs or muffins for breakfast. Rather, they are waiting in joyful expectation. Their only job is to be awake and aware, to tend to their lamps, to encourage the light so they can see their master coming, to open the door for him when he arrives. They are not fearing punishment if their master is displeased, but they do receive a blessing at the end of their vigil. If they were afraid of losing their jobs, their status, their shelter, whatever it is they treasure, if they were focusing on these fears instead of looking out for their master, they would surely fail to be awake with their lamps lit when he arrived. Because fear is exhausting. We are wired for short-term fear response, fight or flight. Our bodies can only sustain a racing heart, panting breath, and adrenaline rush for so long. And then we shut down. When my son was very young, he had a minor head injury that landed him in the hospital overnight. Everything looked fine, but the nurses would check on him throughout the night just to make sure. My husband and I were understandably fearful about our son's condition, and we were resolved to stay up with him through the whole night. Neither of us made it. While it was a fitful and often interrupted night of sleep, our bodies could not sustain that level of fear without rest. Unlike fear, however, sustained attentiveness can be regenerative. Think of children listening attentively for the bells of Santa's sleigh. They manage to stay up for an impressive span of time on Christmas Eve, do they not? And when they awaken on Christmas morning, they seem full of energy. They are waiting in joyful expectation. They are focused on one thing. And that is what Jesus encourages his disciples to do. Do not be afraid. Focus on one thing, the kingdom of heaven. And we do this through sustained attentiveness, joyful expectation of that coming kingdom, that time and place where what we treasure most will be eternal. Because if we don't follow Jesus' instructions on this, if we are fearful, if we lose focus, if we are distracted and anxious, we will miss the kingdom of heaven when it arrives. Now, I know this may sound like some far-off fairy tale, end times babble, but I'm not talking about the end of the world, and neither is Jesus. For Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is always present and future. It is inaugurated in Christ's coming and will keep coming until it is complete. The kingdom of heaven is not a place or an event or an end point. It is a process, like evolution, like fermentation, like photosynthesis. The creation itself, in its very operation, is saturated with the kingdom of heaven. And so, even in the center of my wild week, even as I kept pouring my treasured energy into that worn-out purse, the kingdom of heaven kept showing up. I saw it in the mission team from New York packing backpacks up in Pontiac. I saw it in meetings with church members who are passionate about the life of this community and their desire to see it flourish. I saw it in folks in the hospital who were experiencing the healing power of love and prayer. I saw it in the Kenya mission team's photographs. In all those places where God so clearly showed up and stepped in to take care of things, to work things out, to give what was needed. The kingdom of heaven is not always experienced as a dramatic event. It is often a slow unfolding, a long night of waiting. And so we will only see it if we are attentive, if we are nurturing the light. It may not come right away. There may be many hours of darkness ahead as we wait. Like any process, the kingdom of heaven is sometimes hard to see. It is sometimes nearly invisible. But if our lamps are lit, if we are awake and attentive and joyfully expectant, we may sometimes hear a footfall or catch a whiff of its scent on the wind or see a light coming toward us in the distance. And we will be reminded that it is coming. So do not be afraid. Keep your lamps lit. In the center of your worries, your fears, whatever anxieties plague you most, wait in joyful expectation for the kingdom of heaven to arrive. In your career, in your broken relationships, in your neighborhood, in your depression, in your illness or injury, in your boredom or apathy, wait in joyful expectation for the kingdom of heaven to arrive. For when it arrives, if we have not fallen asleep, exhausted by fear, we will be blessed. God will invite us to sit down, take a load off, as God Almighty puts on an apron and sets us a feast. And so we wait in joyful expectation, replacing our fear with trust and gratitude, feeding the light that has been entrusted to us. Let us pray. Loving God, we are grateful that it has been your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Keep us attentive in joyful expectation, ever watchful for signs of your kingdom on earth. Amen.